141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. There will be an Old Firm Scottish Cup final for the first time in 22 years after semi-final wins against Aberdeen and Hart. Dundee United will be back in the top flight next season after winning the championship. The team of the year is out, player of the year to follow, and it's full steam ahead towards the post-split fixtures in the company of Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Gordon, let me take you back to Saturday, May the 4th, 2002. Andy Halliday was 10 years of age. You two were still at the school. The Sugar Babes were number one with Freak Like Me.
Wow.
And Bend It Like Beckham was in the cinemas. Oh,
good film.
And we had the last Old Firm Scottish Cup final. Celtic 2, Rangers 3. A stoppage time winner for Peter Lovenkranz. Bedlam at Hampden. It's been a long time coming. Roll on, May the 25th.
Yeah, we all expected that. Our first Old Firm Scottish Cup final since 2002, but both teams had to hold up to the bargain, and they both did. Both games certainly on opposite ends of the entertainment scales. I thought Saturday was one of the best cup ties I've watched for a long time. Sunday, not so much. Rangers were comfortable without having to be at their best. And we're all set for that big day, May the 25th.
Come on then, 01419511025. That is the number you need. Give us a call right now and let's look back on it all, starting with Saturday, of course. If you want to make a more general point, where does that rank in exciting Scottish Cup ties that you've been at, whether it be semi-final stage or any other? Where does that one rank? You've seen much more incident-packed than that. Let's get into the specifics from a Celtic and Aberdeen perspective in terms of who was good and who wasn't. The talking points, there are always talking points and controversies, and Aberdeen felt hard done by towards the end of that one as well. On to yesterday, as Andy said, nowhere near the same number of incidents, but that's perhaps to be expected. Rangers fans, how did you feel about it after what was a pretty difficult week? A lot of negativity. Some of you would have been fearing the worst, I'm sure, going into the game. Relatively straightforward in the end. Again, who was good? Cyril Dessers, much maligned, scores a double, gets you through to a cup final. How are you feeling about him? Any of the other performers? And what about the regrets? Hearts fans, what did you make of that performance? Sum it all up for us on 01419511025. That was the main show in town over the weekend, so do give us a call. But as we mentioned, Dundee United won the championship. The PFA Scotland Premiership Team of the Year came out. That's always a good debate, oversight for Andy Halliday, if you ask me. But there we are, we move on. And anything else that's out there across the weekend, give us a call. And glad you're here, Roger Hannah. And I don't usually say that, to be honest.
You
but
don't.
Saturday night, last night, I thought to myself, do you know what I'm going to do this week on the show? I'm going to look up, like, who was number one when Celtic and Rangers last met in a cup final? Who was the Prime Minister? What sort of films were out? And I totally forgot about it. And I didn't mention it to you. And then you just turned up and did it.
Tony Blair.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, man. Not Tony Blair. I like to bring my political feelings into the show. But there,
yes,
we are.
I was at a game, a spectacular game of football. And not that I want to do down either of the current Celtic and Rangers teams, but I think Celtic of 2002 might well put a few past Celtic of 2024, and likewise Rangers of 2002 might put a few past Rangers of 2024.
Let's limit ourselves to the present day if we can. 01419511025. Get in touch. All your thoughts, please, on those cup games across the weekend. Let's do it. And if you need your memory jogged, your appetite whetted, let's go for result of the weekend. You don't have loads to choose from.
Well, you've mentioned them a couple of times. Dundee United, okay, bouncing back into the top flight the first time of asking. My good friend Mr. Hannah was at the game, so you might be able to delve into it a little bit more. By all means, doesn't look like a classic from the outside, but 1-0 win, 3 points, almost all but guarantees them back into the top flight.
Yeah, we'll just take it as done, won't we?
Yeah.
We're not getting what is it, 30?
Do you think Rafe can win 30?
32 goals, is it?
I've both done it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Even Hugh Keevans wasn't around for that game. Roger?
I'll stick in the championship. Partick Thistle 4, Airdrie 0. If you're going to have a dress rehearsal for a playoff against another team, why not whack them 4-0 at your own place and lay down a marker? Airdrie had been going really, really well. Thistle hadn't been going brilliantly, but our man, Brian Graham, 2 more goals. a 4-0 win, and when they meet again, that will be at the back of every Airdrie player's mind, I would think.
Again, not loads, but goal of the weekend, what are you going for?
It was a toss up for the Matt O'Reilly goal and the Miovski goal, and I've just edged with the Miovski goal purely because that sort of link up between Leighton Clarkson and Miovski, something we've seen so often last season, not seen so much this season. And you know, Miovski only one goal and 11 going into the semi-final, but I mean, fantastic goal, great pass by Leighton Clarkson, great movement for Miovski to get on the blind side of Carter Vickers, and a composed finish at that as well.
Same game, but we'll go for James Forrest. Just off the bench, almost scored with his first touches of the game, and then a couple of minutes later did score. He is a specialist at Hampden for Celtic. I think, did you say 106 goals now? Something similar for assists. Yeah, did very well.
Howler of the weekend.
Fabio Silva.
Okay. I think I know which, but yeah. What incident in particular?
Well, I think everyone knows the incident in question.
Okay, so what is he doing Dessers, then? What's your interpretation?
Well, Cyril Dessers does fantastic, get down the left-hand side. He's never scored a hat-trick for Rangers, so fully expecting him to pull the trigger, but it does the unselfish thing, pulls it back to a free Fabio Silva at the edge of the six-yard box, and you're asking me, what does he do? I don't know. Does anyone know? I can't believe he's just managed to either get his feet muddled up or anticipating contact. He's just end up on the floor when he had a tap in for 6 yards.
I mean, when you say anticipating contact, do you mean diving?
No comment. You've
seen the two schools of thought, Roger. One which says the arms go up, the feet come together, that looks like a dive. And then the other which says, well, why? Or, you know, like, it's quite inexplicable.
He's got a tap in.
I don't really know what the... You can decide.
Dessers should have shot.
There you go,
that's
fair enough.
Actually, I watched the replay back a couple of times and thought, is Dessers maybe pulled it a wee bit too far back and he's sort of trying to lean his body
maybe
forward,
part
get his feet
of
back.
That, but I don't know if
yeah, but
enough.
I don't even think he does pull it back that much. Just swing your left
in
foot.
In moments like this, it's always worth remembering. Somebody once paid £35 million for him.
Howler of the weekend for you, Roger Hannah.
Well, getting to the time of season where there's semi-finals and finals, and it was a great week for penalty shootouts. Real Madrid beat Man City, Man United beat Coventry City, Celtic beat Aberdeen.
That'd be something.
Ederson scored from the spot, Joe Hart hit the post from a spot. How on earth does a goalie get cramp in among all of that? Kelleher-Roos, how is that possible for a goalie to get cramp? And he did his team no favours because poor old Ryan Duncan was left to wait and wait and wait and wait, and he missed his penalty.
Okay, top man, top performer of the weekend.
Very rare does someone get mentioned twice in the one
awards
set
ceremony
of questions. So I'm going to go with James Forrest. He's my performer of the weekend. I thought Celtic started the second half a lot more brightly than they did the first, but it did need that extra spark from somewhere, especially in the wider areas of the front three. I don't think Yang'an Kun, even though he got his goal, offered all that much. But that little injection of quality James Forrest gave and got his goal within a minute. And then I thought he caused Aberdeen a lot of problems throughout as well before he came off in the 119th minute. But yep, Roger touched on it, 106 goals. Someone that's got a great record at Hampden, and he's my performer of the weekend.
Oh, I'm going for Cyril Dessers. Nothing to do with his two goals. It's his post-match performance when he comes in to do his interview. Just 4 days after Dujon Sterling said Rangers were short of where they should be, Cyril Dessers comes in and says, if they play like that, they're the best team in the league. So over to you now, boys, to show your teammate Cyril that he's right.
0141 951 1025. Let's get stuck in. I was watching the calls coming in. I'm partly listening to Roger Hannah and Andy Haldy, and I could just see Karen's call coming in. Karen, Roger Hannah almost stole your thunder, but I know you can elaborate for us. Take it away.
Hi there. Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Karen.
I was actually had to watch it in the highlights because I was swimming and I was coming up the M74 when the match was coming on, and I pulled in Cabington Services to watch the penalty shootout on my phone. And I think gutted. I think it's the hope that kills you. I'm one of these people. I think I would rather get hammered 2-0 in the 90 minutes than go out like that. But that's just a personal point of view. But my main point was Kelleher-Roos. I don't think, like Roger said, he did the team any favours at all. There was two young academy lads actually stepped up the plate to take penalties, and he went down with cramp, which I find hard on a goalkeeper. I don't know if it was maybe gamesmanship on his behalf, but he went down with cramp just as that young lad was about to take a penalty, and he had to wait quite a bit of time. And I think it was really selfish, and I thought Roos didn't lay a glove in any of the penalties at all. I thought he was the one that let Aberdeen down yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, you've touched on it in your howler of the weekend. Like, on one hand, you do say penalties are a lottery and you kind of have to accept what comes out of them. But I wonder if that is the case, because Karen's talked, well, you know, can Kelleher have acted differently? Can he have done better to get nearer them? Is the choice of penalty takers correct? What, you ever, have you ever seen, Andy, you seen a keeper get cramped during a shootout before?
I've never seen a goalie get cramped, period. No, I mean, a shootout. And, you know, Karen mentioned gamesmanship, and if Celtic were the next penalty takers, you could understand maybe that's what he's going for, but it's his own player. So Ryan Duncan, every person that will take a penalty in a shootout will tell you, you know, you, in your walk-up, you already know what way you're going to go. You put the ball down, you pick your spot, you hit. He's then got 90 seconds, 2 minutes to stand and think about it. All sorts of things going around his head. Couldn't have been easier for him. And listen, Gordon, I know it's easy to say this now in hindsight, but I just, you always just fancy them to miss, just the way that the sort of the build-up to his penalty went. And I think as I say, if you've got cramp, like, you know, move to the side away for the goal, let the penalty still happen if you've got cramp, and try and obviously recover that before you save the next penalty. But he sat down in the middle of the goal and just let poor Ryan Duncan wait for 2 minutes before he hit his penalty.
Yeah, I don't think he'll look back on it with any great fondness. I was actually quite surprised by some of the Aberdeen penalty takers. There were senior players there, didn't come and take the penalties, and they were left to young Ryan Duncan. Hardly been seen in recent weeks. I think Jack Milne, who scored that when it sneaked under Joe Hart, it was Jack Milne's 14th appearance as a footballer for Aberdeen, putting an awful lot of responsibility on young shoulders when more senior players weren't stepping up.
So is that a concern you share, Karen?
Exactly. I think they talk about senior players playing a pivotal role in bringing young players on, and I don't think there was enough of them stood up to be counted yesterday. There's not many teams saying that will score 3 goals and lose a semi-final or a cup.
And I suppose that you can never be okay with going out a cup, because the whole point, you're there in the semi-final and you do come so close. Did it still feel like a performance to be proud of, given that it's been a tough league season? Or is it all just overshadowed by the end disappointment?
I think it's twofold. I think you've got to ask, where have these players been the whole season in the league? But I always believe if you're in a two-horse race and if you're second, you're the first loser, you know? So it's maybe hard, but I think everybody was just sort of gutted at the end. I mean, the support seemed quite phenomenal and vocal for the team. So just hope that will maybe have a bounce for the last 5 matches, because I don't think we're out the mire yet. Yeah. I mean, we've got a tough match against Motherwell. If Ross County won, that's back down to 3 points just.
Yeah, Andy Halliday was just telling us how much he's looking forward to the trip before we came on air. Roger Hannah.
I don't know what to make of Aberdeen.
A weird season. We said this over the weekend. Yeah. That's a cup semi-final, losing penalties. A League Cup final, lose for narrowly. And actually, I know we broad brush and we say that all our teams are rotten in Europe. Aberdeen actually did okay. When you look at Aberdeen, some of the results and performances, they did quite well. Then just saved all their bad form for what happens to be the most important one, the league.
I sympathise a bit with Karen, because they beat the Eintracht Frankfurt. They drew, I think, with HJK, and that
those two
competition.
Were damaging,
they won at Ibrox to finish off Michael Beale. They almost beat Celtic at Pittodrie. Remember that Joe Hart save in the league right at the end? Otherwise, you know, a 1-1 would have turned into 2-1 to Aberdeen. One cup final, another semi-final, only losing to Celtic in penalties. They can do it. And that must be the most infuriating thing in a season where they're on the third manager and a fourth one's coming in the 1st of June. So it's going to be a bit of a crossroads for Aberdeen. Kelleher Roos, cramp or no cramp, is out of contract. So is Conor Barron. There's loan players there that will go back to their clubs. I would be surprised if Bojan Miovski was still there next season, albeit be compensated with a lot of money. But I wonder what Jimmy Thelen will make of what he's seen in this Aberdeen team.
Thank you very much to Karen, Aberdeen fan, kicking things off tonight. John is a Celtic fan. Are you just happy to be through, John? Is that what it was all about?
I'm happy to be through, but the Celtic performance was absolutely shocking. Against an Aberdeen team that can't get to qualify for the top six. Now, they're sitting fifth bottom. That's my first point. The second point is...
What was shocking about it? What annoyed you?
It was a Calvary Charles with 2 or 3 minutes to go, and they're still trying to get a fourth goal. Instead of taking it down to the corner flag, and Lee Palmer lost the ball, and Aberdeen scored... 2 cross balls. We've got no height in that team. And what hangs me off is they've got 3 centre halves there. Welsh and Arna Roskett and they're a big boy. Two internationals and Rogers keeps me stubborn to play this boy Scales and I get caught out with the exact same two goals. And for George stepping up to take a penalty kick, that's another shocking decision. Taking a penalty kick when there's another four or five guys there that play and an on goal. We get out of jail. We get out of jail, but there's only one team that can win the treble, and I don't want to see that as the Rangers. But I kind of see him win the treble. But as I say, see in these next five games, we're going to be, it's going to be nerve-wracking the way our defence is. We'll need to score about maybe four or five goals. A game comes Saturday, Rangers play first. They beat St Mirren, it's sitting square with the points, and we've got to go to Dundee. We're going to need to up our ante for the next five games. As I say, we get out of jail on Saturday, but we're in a cup final, so I say we're there. But as I say, we go out of jail. An Aberdeen team that can, as I say, they can't qualify. Everybody was taking points off. I'm sitting fifth bottom, and that's where they are. And we can't beat them over the 90 minutes. That's my point tonight, mate.
I know I'm a pedant. I don't feel you can get out of jail when you're the team that twice as minutes away from going through. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean it was a good performance, and I get what John means.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's getting out of jail.
The game just did ebb and flow from the get go because I thought Celtic were almost sleepwalking for the first sort of 20-25 minutes. I thought Aberdeen started a lot brighter, get the goal. I thought they were really lively and industrious in midfield, won the sort of individual battles there, and it wasn't really to Angus McDonald sort of gifted Celtic that opportunity where Kyogo, as always, is sort of round his toes and snaps at him and it gets the Coon equaliser, that I thought that Celtic really clicked into gear at any point. But then in the second half, I thought Celtic were a lot better, a lot more in control, kept Aberdeen in their half. And then when you talk about the game ebb and flow, when Celtic go 2-1 up, you think that's it, done and dusted. Then Aberdeen rise up and get the equaliser. Then the extra time's the exact same. Celtic get the goal to make it 3-2. Right, that's it. Game over. There's no coming back. And then it's interesting because John mentioned about Naroki being this antinarsis on the bench. He came on the 119th minute. And what Aberdeen did was react by putting Angus McDonald up front. And they bombarded the box with crosses and score from it straight away and take it to penalties. And then you almost feel, you know, is the story written? Is the momentum with Aberdeen? Are they going to take it and get to the Scottish Cup final? And then John also mentioned Joe Hart taking the fifth Celtic penalty. And again, I think it's one of them. It's hindsight. He obviously misses the penalty. So you think, oh, why is your goalkeeper taking it? We've seen Ederson take a penalty last week. We've seen Joe Hart take penalties in the past. But he done the most important thing by keeping one out of his net and getting Celtic through.
You've got away with one, John. I'd be quite happy with that. I was at Tannery Saturday. I was listening to the drama unfolding the show, and it goes to penalties. It is, to use the cliche, it's just a lottery. Anything could have happened in there. It fell for you, Joe Hart, making that save at the end from Killian Phillips to get you through. Make the most of it. You're in the cup final. I cannot see Celtic playing that poorly again at Dens on Sunday.
What do you think, John?
Well, they can't, because the Rangers are right up behind you. You just can't afford to drop them. Well, we can afford to drop maybe one game, but it's going to be nerve-wracking me each five games, especially if Rangers are playing for you. As I say, they go to Lovestream. They're not in good shape. They already got their thing with yesterday. The Hearts laid down the usual. That's 17 games is now as well. They think they've drawn once out of 17. But as I say, it's going to be at least not over way yet, mate. I hope, as I say, that screen and white ribbons is going to be around the cup, but it's going to be a long five weeks, mate. That's my point tonight.
Let's hear that Joe Hart penalty. Brendan Rodgers praised the goalkeeper's mentality after his save sealed the final place despite missing in the shootout.
But we've obviously looked at that over the last couple of days, and he was one of the designated takers on the fifth one. I think he's obviously trying to get it as wide as he can. He sees their goalkeeper is injured, so he's trying to move him as much as he can in the goal. But then his mentality lets it go and comes up and makes the crucial save for us, which is so, so important.
Yeah, I mean, we can't have this conversation with anything other than hindsight. Mm-hmm. And he misses a couple of inches to the right, it goes in. They say they've practiced it all week, and he was one of the five. Is it just a shrug your shoulders and move on? People keep referencing Ederson. Ederson is a proper technician.
He could be number 10.
You know, so I don't know about that comparison, but anyway.
But listen, Gordon, two things have either happened. They've practiced the penalties throughout the week, and Joe Hart's been one of the best five takers, or it's got to after the game. They've asked who wants to take penalties, and Joe Hart's been one of the five that put his hands up. So ultimately, that's the reason why he's took a penalty. Yep, he's missed it. But like we says, I think a few answers would be different if Celtic go on to lose the shootout. But the most important thing for Joe Hart and Celtic was he stepped up and said the next one.
Right, there's loads from that game that we've not covered yet, so if there's something you want to get off your chest, now's the time to do it. And what about semi-final number two as well, Rangers and Hearts fans? 0141 951 1025, and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Do get in touch. Give us all your thoughts on the weekend's action or anything else that's out there. But Scottish Cup semi-final weekend, it's usually one of the biggest weekends in the Scottish football calendar. We had a bit of everything, a bit more straightforward yesterday, but that wouldn't be hard given the excitement and drama of Saturday. Like I say, Roger, it was more of a general thought. Is that about as exciting a cup tie or a cup semi as you've ever seen? Where would it rank?
I go back. The only one I could think of that maybe eclipsed it was Aberdeen 3, Queen of the South 4 back in 2008, which was just utterly bonkers. And Aberdeen again coming out on the wrong side of it, Queen of the South going through to a final against Rangers.
Up there for you, Andy?
Yeah, I think I remember it was at Hibs Falkirk. I can't remember that was a classic. But yeah, certainly Saturday's was right up there. Yeah. Again, just the way the momentum was shifting between both teams.
Maybe the unexpected nature of it as well. Like we said to the Aberdeen fan, you look at the way the two teams arrive at the fixture, probably would have expected more, the type of outcome we got yesterday, if anything, a bit more straightforward.
And especially when, you know, that performer of the weekend that I gave James Forrest makes it 2-1 after 60 minutes, you just feel as if Celtic's going to really kick into gear and get that third, get that fourth. They had chances, so you feel as if Aberdeen are almost down and out, but they managed to come back on two separate occasions to take it to penalties. And then even the drama in penalties, like we says, when do you see a goalkeeper getting cramped? When do you see a goalkeeper taking the fifth deciding penalty and missing it? So there was drama throughout.
Yeah, okay, keep your calls coming. What about yesterday? I'm still looking for more of you Rangers and Hearts fans to give us your take on it all. Cyril Dessers. At some point we'll get a night on the show where his name doesn't come up for good or bad, but he's, how can you keep him out of the headlines? It's a double yesterday. It's at Rangers fans. Is that sum up the importance he has to the strike force? Are you still more interested in his shortcomings? Is it time to leave some of them aside? I don't know. You can tell me on the usual number. But James has thoughts on Celtic's performance first. Hi, James.
Hi, good evening, lads.
How's it going,
man,
James?
Doing, James?
I watched the game on Saturday and I was watching an old movie, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I cannot believe how bad we were on Saturday. I just can't believe it. The whole midfield were absolutely poor. Shocking. Back to defence, Scales and Carter Vickers, nowhere to be seen. And Yang and McGregor should have been taken off just before half time. I don't know what Brendan's tactics were or his thoughts, but this is happening on a regular basis. One or two or three of the midfielders are decent at races. On Saturday, if you picked that team, four of them would get pass marks, and the other seven, I wouldn't give you pass marks. If we continue to play with us next week at Dundee, it's a £60 million game. The following week at Hearts, it's a £60 million game, because that's the prize for winning the championship. And the selection of Joe Hart to take a penalty kick, I thought was shocking. You have 10 outfield players. Every one of them should have a penalty before it goes to Joe Hart. And I'll ask another question. If that was Rangers in the final, would Joe Hart walked up and took that penalty kick? Never in a million years. Just thought, guys, I'd ask your thoughts on that.
Take it away. Some good ground covered by James.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Joe Hart taking the penalty. People are comparing it to Ederson for Man City the other day. What's Ederson's greatest strength? Why is he there? He's great because of the work he does with the ball at his feet. It's not Joe Hart's greatest strength. And I was astonished to see him coming up. You know, it's, you see the way Alistair Johnson and Tomoki Iwata took their penalties afterwards. Terrific penalties. Arguably the two best penalties in the shootout. And they were behind Joe Hart. Not for me at all. Just take some of your other points there, James. The midfield, I'm going to cut a little bit of slack to. I heard Gordon Stanton the show on Saturday. First time in 6 months the three of them had actually played together from
Hatate,
the start.
McGregor, O'Reilly, not since the end of October, yeah, the home game against Atletico Madrid.
And
quite something that.
McGregor still easing himself back in. I think Hatate still easing himself back in. I was very impressed by the way Peter Leaven deployed his midfield. Baron Pulvara, who came in for Graham Shinney, who was suspended, Daz knew that, didn't he? And Leighton Clarkson, who teed up the Miovsky for the first goal.
You'd have missed this, Andy Halliday, a classic Gordon Dielli. He had Graham Shinney down as danger man for Aberdeen half an hour to kick off, suspended, sitting in the stand.
It's a classic.
Never let us
down. I think everything Peter Leaven got right with his midfield on Saturday, Hearts got wrong with their midfield yesterday, but I digress. That midfield won't be as bad again, James. The situation with Yang, not for me at the minute. I think James Forrest will play at Dens on Sunday. James Forrest deserves to play at Dens on Sunday. Nicholas Coon's done well. He got a nasty smack in the face early on and got up and scored a goal. I've no problem with him staying in the team. I think it will be Forrest and Coon in the wide positions on Sunday.
Andy, Pip, again, James makes a lot of relevant points. Mm-hmm. Whatever one you want to start with, will we go Joe Hart? I keep seeing clips though now appearing of Joe Hart smashing one in the top corner for Man City in some sort of...
I think he took one for England under 21s as well. I've kind of gave my point. I feel as if they practice it during the week, then it's because that Joe Hart's been one of the five best takers, so that's the reason he's took it. And let's not forget as well, James, at Celtic have missed five penalties this season, so a lot of the outfield players have not been so comfortable for 12 yards out. But in terms of the way you've seen the game, I totally agree. I thought it was a really off performance for Celtic's midfield. I think it's the strongest department of Celtic's team. I thought Aberdeen got the better of them for a large period of that. Personally, I thought Conor Barron was the best player on the pitch on Saturday, to be honest.
He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's out of contract in the summer, so I always think that, not try to sort of prize him away for Aberdeen, but I always feel like they are the sort of no-brainers that Celtic and Rangers should be looking for, especially when they're trying to get homegrown talent for their European squads. I thought he was excellent. No, absolutely not. I've heard a few links down south as well, but I just feel as if they're no-brainers for Rangers and Celtic, but doesn't seem as if there's been much chat there. But I think that wider areas of that front three, I feel as if it's... I don't really feel as if either Yang or Coon are grasping their opportunity when it's coming. I feel as if we all know if Maeda's fit, and I know he's not. He's sort of nailed to take that position. On the other side, I just don't think anyone's really nailing that jersey. It's interesting where, you know, it was just probably less or more than a month ago where... Well, Brendan Rodgers says that James Forrest, he feels it's still the best winger at the club, and then you see the impact he has when he comes off the bench, and you just think, you know, why is he not getting these chances for the start? Why is he not getting these minutes?
We've seen this with so many players. Can you be the best bet at coming off the bench and getting a goal when you need one, but not necessarily be the best bet to start a game?
I feel like Yang's been that player for Celtic this year. I feel like all of Yang's positive performances for Celtic's been coming off the bench, whereas, I mean, James Forrest hasn't had the opportunities that Yang and Coon and these boys have had for the start.
So how did this happen, James? Because Celtic arrived into the fixture in quite a good place, with optimism high. You've won the game through to the final, and yet the performance has you worrying about the remainder of the league campaign. Was it that bad?
Well, Gordon, if you look at it, in the 33 games we've played in the league, how many times has a midfield played well? 5 or 6 times. The rest of them has been inept. You've got McGregor injured, come back. Hatate, the same. And O'Reilly. Either one or two of them will have bad games and the other man will do the work of two people. This has been happening on a regular basis. And I don't know what happened on Saturday, but it's like if Scales and Carl Vickers didn't know each other. Even Shu said, that is the worst performance by Carter Vickers in Scales this season. And I'd like to cut Scales a bit of slack. If you go back to the start of the season, Scales came in to help out. And the first couple of months, he was outstanding for us, even in Europe. Boy was brilliant, good at tackling, headers, defence, everything. The boys went after Boyle. And all of a sudden, now he's getting slated, which is unfair. We have players who have got talent like Callum McGregor. You could see after the first 20 minutes on Saturday, guys, Callum wasn't up for it. It just wasn't there. And it got worse. And when we made the change at half-time, we played a lot better. So you've got to ask yourself, did Brendan get his tactics right? I don't think he did. I think he took a gamble with McGregor, and it didn't pay off. And Hatate and O'Reilly, apart from him scoring the goal, boys,
what else did they do in that game? Because we lost all the 50-50 balls.
And yet, Roger, we always talk about moments in games. So a little bit of better decision making, a little bit of game management. Doesn't it go anywhere near as far as it did, as one of the previous callers said? I think it was Louis Palma. Getting the ball, he's in the middle of the pitch.
Ridiculous ball.
And that's the bit I said, you know, about as much as Celtic weren't good, I don't know about the getting out of jail bit, because it's twice that they've actually got the tie in their control and allow, credit to Aberdeen who did brilliantly, but, you know, allow that to happen.
Yeah, I think both, but by that stage, both semi-finals were becoming a bit disjointed. Louis Palma could have done any amount of things with the ball and he gave it away. It's the same yesterday with Young McCauley, Tate in the Hearts game, gave it away and Rangers went and scored the second goal. I think at that time of game, it did become a little bit disjointed. I was just going to ask James, I mean, I've said, James, I think Forrest and Coon will start in the wide areas. You talk about the midfield and the deficiencies in there. Is there an argument for these last five or six games, including the cup final, for Celtic to tweak the system so that you can get Ida and Kyogo in the park together, even if it means sacrificing a wider player?
I'm going to leave that one hanging, if you don't mind, because I'm a bit late and I want to squeeze one more in. But food for thought going forward, James. Thank you for taking the time. David is a Rangers fan. What did you take away from yesterday, David?
I was happy with it, but I thought we were a lot better without Goldson in the team. I think even Tav had a better game without Goldson. I think that should be our back four for the rest of the season, to be honest with you. What do you think?
It was a big call, Andy. You know, one of those pieces of team news that everybody sort of takes notice of.
Yeah.
You'll know better than me. We were debating this yesterday. Has Connor Goldson ever been left out of a meaningful game?
No. I'd be very confident saying 100% no. Certainly not that I can remember.
And by the way, I don't mean meaningful. You know what I mean? Unless it's like a rest for the next one.
Listen, you're absolutely right, because him and James Tavernier are nailed on the starting 11 week in, week out, regardless of their sort of form, because you know what they're capable of. So it took everyone aback when you seen the starting 11, he wasn't included. I then found it, you know, quite interesting. Philippe Clement says that he planned to rest them against Dundee, but because of Leon Balogun's illness, he pushed it back and planned to do it that weekend there. I don't know if you rest players in Scottish Cup semi-finals. So for me, it did look from the outside looking in that, you know, he's not been his best form recently. So he chose to bring Leon Balogun, who at times when he stepped in this season has done well. It's interesting though, Gordon, because I just don't see that back four playing the rest of the season, whether it's right or wrong.
Did they look better yesterday, come back in, or is that not?
I thought, you know what I think of John Souter, I'm a big fan of John Souter, but I thought John Souter had a sort of shaky first 15 minutes of the second half. Ooh. And allowed Hearts in a couple of times down the outside.
Is that noise because you think it was more than shaky?
Well, there was movement in the Rangers bench at that stage, and I actually thought Goldson was going to make a run for Souter, because Souter was having one. He was dreadful for 15 or 20 minutes.
But you don't think you saw enough going forward then to suggest that it will stay that way?
I don't. And as I said, whether that's right or wrong, I think Conor Goldson will come back into the team. Whether that's for Balogun off or John Souter, I'm not too sure. But I'd be almost amazed if he doesn't come back in this weekend.
Would you like to see it stay even for the next game, David, and then take it from there?
100%. I like Balogun. I really like Balogun. I think he's the best defender at the club, but that's just my opinion, obviously. But nah, I think he was solid yesterday.
How important was, I'll ask many daft questions. I can hear how daft it is, because winning every semi-final is important, but just particularly how Rangers went into the game, David, you know, the negativity, the last two results. How important was it to do it without any drama yesterday?
It was important, but typical Rangers score early, take a foot off the gas. And I was absolutely crapping myself that Hearts were going to get back in it. Well, no, it was so nervous, but then we got that second goal and it made that a bit easier. But no, it was very uncomfortable after 7 minutes, because of Hearts, like, took their chances, that could have been a different game.
Yep, thank you very much to David. We will leave that one there. Keep elaborating out there for us. Are there any big talking points we've not got to yet? Please do share them and we will get you on after I tell you about this.
Clyde One. Make me a winner. Win your share of £1 million. Make me a
winner. Last time out, the Make Me a Winner call went to five rings unanswered, which means it is a rollover and you could be the winner of £125,000 paid into your bank straight after the call tomorrow. If you want involved, text yes to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter online at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Entries since Maria won on Friday have rolled over, and all the rules for this network competition can be found online. If you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to have the £125,000 in your bank account by tea time. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Your Monday review with Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday. One of the highlights of your week, I am sure of it. Not as many league games to look back on this weekend, but we're always like to hear from people who are happy. So if there's any Dundee United fans that want to share their joy, you are more than welcome, and they will be back in the top flight next season. Scottish Cup semi-finals though dominating the phone lines as you would expect. Let's hear from Philippe Clement, who says Cyril Desser's key role yesterday came down to freshness. He thinks being able to rest the striker on Wednesday helped his performance at Hampden.
Cyril, yeah, first you have the story that Danilo get a really severe injury and will be out for all season. So he's out for months already. So before Cyril and Dani were alternating and both playing. We get Fabio into the building, but we needed Fabio last couple of weeks, last months also on the wings, because we had a lot of injuries there. And Cyril played a lot of minutes. Look at all the top teams in the world, all the teams that play that many games that we are playing. There's a lot of alternation with the offensive players, because you need this freshness to show your quality. If you don't have this freshness, everything goes a little bit slower and you don't create the chances anymore. So that's the reason also why I didn't start with Cyril on Wednesday. So it's all the time making this puzzle, when to use who. And because of that, Cyril was more fresh today, and he could show his quality more than when you are tired. If you play every 3 days, you give that much effort also for the team, because if somebody's working really honest and really hard for the team with and without ball.
Let's bring in Rob, who's on the line. Rob, Cyril Desers, where are we on him this week?
Oh, listen, I've always been an advocate of the man. Even way back at the start of the season, when he was getting maligned, he was getting mocked, he was getting called all sorts. Always, I came on here actually and said, give the guy time, he will come good. I actually quoted him as a £30 million player, and after watching Fabio Silva yesterday, I've kind of went up to about £50 million, to be honest with you. But no, I think the guy's stats speak for himself. What, 16 goals and 24 starts, 7 assists. And he's always, he works the line so hard. He's always an option. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. He's always, as I said, he's a scapegoat for many a Rangers fan. But in my eyes, he's a really, really good centre-forward, and he always delivers in the big games.
Some people say he doesn't deliver in the big games, Roger. And then yesterday, obviously, he does. So it's becoming a very personal opinion player, isn't he?
Yeah, oh, very much. He's a Marmite player.
I know,
if
like everybody is, but you know what I mean? Extreme
19 goals
example.
In all competitions. The detractors will say, I could score 19 goals if I played up front for Rangers. You can get that many chances. What I will say, Rob, is he's improving. He's better than he was at the start of the season. I was one of the critics at the start of the season. I did not fancy him at all. I wouldn't have thought he'd have got 19 goals. So credit to him for that. Credit to him for his performance and the way he took his goals yesterday. And maybe that can be a turning point for Cyril Desers in his Rangers career. What all Rangers centre-forwards are judged on, though, is goals against Celtic and goals in cup finals. So he's now got two opportunities, one at Celtic Park and one at Hampden Park, between now and the 25th of May. If he shows up and performs the way he did yesterday, then I might have to eat some humble pie and agree with you and say he is a good striker.
I heard you said last week that he was definitely Rangers' best striker, and you got a little bit of stick for it.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Feeling vindicated?
Listen, I don't think one performance vindicates anyone, but it's just my opinion. People are entitled to theirs as well. But I think he's shown this season, for me personally, that he's been Rangers' best striker. I still agree that you can change your opinion on him week to week, because there at times, you take back 2 weeks ago, the game at Ross County, where he misses 2 or 3 big chances, and his overall game isn't quite there where it's helping the team. It was a hindrance on that 90 minutes, but I agree with Roger. I think his overall game outside the penalty box has improved a lot since the start of the season. I think the way Philippe Clement sort of utilises him, helps him. And again, you can't really argue with 19 goals in all competitions. It's a decent return. And again, one thing you always talk about him is he gets chances. I mean, 19, you can speculate how many that could have been considering some of the chances he's had this season. So he gets himself into some positive areas, but I don't think there's any doubt, as it stands, he's Rangers' best striker.
Rob, can there be a danger with these things? And this is almost like a human psychology question I'm asking in football, but fans, will he ever truly shake it off, that kind of tag? You know, like once you start that way and that opinion takes roots, do you think he'll ever be truly free of that opinion that people have?
Well, I think Roger touched on it. If he scores against Celtic, aye. But if you go back again, the games that he's played against Celtic, the two games at Ibrox, he was involved in the goal that was chopped off in the first game, the foul that was contentious with VAR, and then he scored the other game at Ibrox again, it was chopped off, but he was there. So he will get chances in the big games. The games against Celtic, you can see his hunger. He was only one that I felt at Ibrox in the first half who was in the last game was actually working. He was working hard for the team. He's got a lot of hunger, he's got a lot of desire. And if you've got hunger and desire in football, Andy will know, it gets you a long way.
And you know what? As much as we're talking about individual players here within a team and are they good, that shouldn't depend on whether that team wins something or not.
Mm.
But it will. So fast forward a couple of months or a couple of weeks, see if Rangers win the league or go even further, win the treble, people will say Cyril Dessau's got 20 plus goals, assuming he does, as part of that league winning team. That shows you how good he was. Similarly, if Rangers fall short, look at the chances that guy missed. That cost us the league. So it feels like the last chapter still to be written here for Cyril Dessau's, even though that depends largely on his teammates.
Yeah, listen, I couldn't agree more. If you look across the city, Kyogo, who's been hailed for 2 years under Ange Postecoglou by Celtic fans, 5 trophies out of 6, and his role in it was scoring the goals in the big games. He did score the goals in the cup finals. He did score the goals in the Old Firm games. So the opportunity is there for Cyril Dessau. You're painting a picture of Rangers winning the league and the League Cup, or even a treble. For that to happen, they're going to need to beat Celtic twice. For that to happen, it's a fair bet the centre forward's going to have to contribute some goals.
Kyogo's a great actual example of what I was just saying there, Andy, because again, there is no doubt, if you sit right now, he's not had as good a season as he did last season. Mm-hmm. He's not in team of the year. He was player of the season last season. But again, if this season ends with Celtic winning the league, people will say, but listen, look at those goals he scored against Rangers. Look how important they were. So it does feel like the end outcome of the season, it plays a big part on how you assess those individuals.
Yeah, well, it's been my main argument towards James Tavernier for a number of years, because everyone talks about the 3 trophies or 4 trophies, whatever it is, he's won next amount of years, but they take away his own individual performance without it. It's not his fault that the rest of the team haven't lived up to the performances he showed throughout a season. So I think you're right in terms of, you know, the stories are still not finished yet in terms of this season for Rangers and Celtic. There's still a lot to play for. I certainly know who's the favourites for me going into the tail end of the season, but like you said, if Rangers are going to continue any type of success, whether they win the Scottish Cup, whether they win the league, Dessau's going to need to play a huge part in it.
Still a big divide, Rob. So I'm going to read you a tweet, Rob, from a Rangers fan who disagrees, saying that Rangers cannot and will not progress with Dessau's as number 9. No disrespect to the lad, but he isn't overall good enough or consistent enough to lead us forward, says Craig. So it sounds like you disagree with that.
So who do they want then? Who do they want on the budget the Rangers have got? Do you know what I mean? Let's be realistic, because I think that's the problem with a lot of Rangers fans, is they're kind of looking, the grass is always greener, for want of a better term, somewhere else. You know what I mean? So we've got a guy in here, Red Lammers as well, who I think should be given more time. I've been 100% honest. He has never played in his right position. It's like we're always looking for the next best thing rather than kind of focusing on the good that's actually in the team. Do you know what I mean? I think the guy's come in, he was out for 3 months before he came. A lot of people forget that as well. He was out for 3 months injured. So he was always playing catch-up when he came to the team. He wasn't fit, he wasn't sharp. I think he's looking as fit as he's ever, and he's playing as well as I've seen all season, personally speaking.
Fair enough, Rob. Thank you very much. It's a fair point, and we will move on because it's that time already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, beat the pundit time. It's a new week. I know Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna tend to know their stuff, but it would just make the victory even sweeter. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna looking back on the weekend's action, mainly the Scottish Cup semi-finals. But if there's anything else out there, please do get in touch. The team of the year came out at the weekend. That's always quite a good debate. And I have a word with that, Fraser Wishart, actually. Some friend of the show, don't release that stuff on a Saturday, Fraser. You do us out of a night's worth of debate on the show. Maybe we can resurrect it a bit towards the end of this evening. What did you make of that team of the year? Who was unfortunate to miss out? I'll get Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna to give us theirs as well. 0141 951 1025. The phones at Clyde SSB on Twitter. And I think we're going to play this now.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh no, have we had some sort of phone line difficulty? Oh no, we're back. I thought we had lost our contestant. Mimi and Aaron both on the line. How's it going?
Good, good, thank you, yourself.
A bit of a team effort, is it?
Yes.
I don't mind that.
I'm the voice, but my partner's the brains.
Right, okay. And is it Aaron or Aaron? I don't want to get it wrong.
It's Aaron.
Aaron, good. Where are you calling from tonight?
From Loch Lomond.
Lovely. Oh. That's your favourite part of the world, isn't it?
My favourite part of the whole universe.
You love it there, don't
love
you?
Love it. Love Loch Lomond.
I'm going to go golfing with the Dazzler down there tomorrow, apparently.
Nice. Just the two of you?
I don't know.
Have you managed to wangle that? Have you managed to wangle your
way? Well, there's a couple of golf courses there. It's not the expensive one.
Okay.
The other one's nice, though, to be fair. Anyway, right, enough about us. Let's get ready, Mimi and Aaron. If it's heads, you take on Andy Halliday. If it's tails, it's Roger Hanna. And he starts on minus one, of course. And it is. It's quite often you, Roger.
Yeah,
Hanna,
it's, yeah, tails, you're right.
Up against Mimi and Aaron. What are you smirking
quite
at?
Quite often, Roger.
It's mostly him, no?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, have I got that round the wrong way?
No wonder he's laughing. He's hardly played this year.
All right, okay, sorry. I've got it round the wrong way. My apologies.
Have you got the total times he's played this year?
Yeah, someone did actually send me it. Producer Chris did send me it just before we...
Sorry, Mimi and Aaron, I'm putting you off your flow here.
No, 16 to 11.
No, not at all.
He's 11.
He's 11, you're 16. There, yeah, you okay, sorry. Right, here's the deal. Let's give Roger some greatest hits radio. Mimi, I know you're the spokesperson, so make sure you give me the answer. But if you want to pass and move on, that's absolutely fine, okay?
Okay, darling, thank
right,
you.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who won the Highland League at the weekend?
Oh, pass.
In what year was the last Celtic Rangers Scottish Cup final?
2002.
In what country was Cyril Dessers playing in before he joined Rangers?
Italy.
How many games are left in the Scottish Championship?
Three.
Who scored Aberdeen's first goal on Saturday?
Mjolski.
Riyad Mahrez was once on trial with which Scottish Premiership side?
Pass.
Okay. Let's bring Roger Hanna back. Roger, can you hear us?
Oh yes, I've got you back.
Mimi's voice changed spectacularly during that Beat the Pundit.
The kind of way Gordon Dales did in the show the other Saturday.
After question two, Mimi's voice broke, quite frankly. Okay. Or I assume Aaron took over, but whatever, it was all good.
Can I speak to my fellow pundit here?
Put him off, yeah.
No, take your time, you'll get 10 out of 10 tonight.
Oh, you've not heard the rest of them.
He will.
We'll see. You ready, Roger Hanna?
Roger's a main man.
30 seconds on the clock. You start on minus one. Your time starts now. Who won the Highland League at the weekend?
Bucky Thistle.
In what year was the last Celtic v Rangers Scottish Cup final?
2002.
In what country was Cyril Dessers playing in before he joined Rangers?
Italy.
How many games are left in the Scottish Championship?
Two.
Who scored Aberdeen's first goal on Saturday?
Mayovsky.
Riyad Mahrez was once on trial with which Scottish Premiership side?
St Mirren.
Which Championship side made the quarterfinals of this season's Scottish Cup?
Ooh. Morton.
Ollie Burke is on loan at Birmingham from which club?
Werder Bremen.
Okay. Mimi, Aaron, he's a tough man to beat. What's the verdict?
No chance.
Do you know what? Was it just opportunistic? I don't mind it when people phone on a Monday, but it's just so much harder, isn't it? He's an absolute know-it-all. I thought he did all right. Was it? What's it like with the pressure being on? Did it get too much, Mimi, after the second question?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you pass the phone over?
I indeed, yeah.
Anyway, let's find out. Bucky Thistle did win the Highland League. Roger Hanna, they won it in goal difference from Brechin, didn't they?
They did, yep.
So they'll now take on East Kilbride.
East Kilbride, first leg at K Park on Saturday. Simon Ferry, your pal, Andy.
Yep, looking forward to it. Hopefully they do the job.
You'll be at Pittodrie. Who are you looking forward to?
Oh, I just still want them to win, so I look forward to the result.
Anyway, right. In the last Celtic Rangers Cup final, the Scottish Cup 2002, both got it. So we're level because Roger Hanna starts on minus one. Cyril Dessers playing in Italy before he joined Rangers, both got it. So they're keeping pace with you until two games left in the Scottish Championship. Roger Hanna goes one in front. You both got Bojan Miovski though, so it's a good effort coming out of Loch Lomond. But Roger Hanna is just a bit too strong. He knew Riyad Mahrez was on trial with St Mirren. He knew that Morton were in the quarterfinals of the Cup. And he knew that Werder Bremen is the parent club of Roger Hanna of Ollie Burke. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8. Minus he's 1. That was a 7-3 victory. I think that's respectable. Mimi, Aaron, you got 3 on the board, but this guy, he's a geek, quite frankly. But thanks for taking part.
Oh, you guys are awesome. We're huge fans of the show. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thanks for phoning in. Brilliant. Mimi and Aaron from Andy Halliday's favourite part of the world.
What did I say?
You did.
Let's go, Roger.
Can I be cheeky as well, or admit that was cheeky? So the original question was, is on Ollie Burke's on loan at Birmingham from which German club? Oh. And I just took out German just to try and make it a bit harder for him. And he's still done it. I'm looking at the other two. I think he will get it as well. Ready? Let's get a bit of tension. Where's my music? Where's my tense music?
Ooh.
That just doesn't sound right.
No, I know.
That's more like it. Roger Hanna going for the 10. Because as good as you are, have you ever had the 10?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind then. That spoils that. Who's currently the top scorer across all four divisions in the SPFL?
Oh my goodness. Is it Callum Morrison or Falkirk?
Stradja!
Yes. Oh, it's an easy one. Just give him it. Name the last professional club that Stephen Naismith played for.
What? Played for? Hearts.
He's done the 10. Well done, Roger. Yeah. Congratulations.
Can I just say to you, Gordon, that is for my Asda delivery driver.
What? That's the worst Oscars acceptance speech of all time.
Mrs. Hanna got the Asda shopping delivered yesterday afternoon, and the driver said, there's an Asda just, as you know, Gordon,
very close to your house.
Very close to my house. And the driver says, ah, sorry I'm late, mate, I had to bring this from Tory Glen. And I said,
so it doesn't even get delivered from your local.
I thought it came from the top of the road. He says, no, they don't do deliveries up there. They all come out of Tory Glen. I hope you don't get that question tomorrow night.
Yeah. You drove by me the other day, actually. I was flashing my lights and all sorts. We were going nose to nose, right past you, oblivious.
Oh, and if I saw
honestly.
It. Apologies.
Doing the old 10 and 2 shuffle, Roger Hanna.
Didn't have the guys on.
Unbelievable.
Probably, didn't have the bins on, did you?
Probably running through every Scottish Cup goal scorer from the last 50 years in his head or something past
that's
the time.
A class, Roger.
But yeah, well done to you. Well done, Roger Hanna. Okay, back to the football. 0141 951 1025. Scott is in Cambuslang. Take it away, Scott. What's your point?
You know, how you doing, guys? All right, nice to see speak to you again.
And you?
2 points, if that's all right, if you can bear with me.
Go for
it. Right. Let's start with the game yesterday. Hearts were absolutely disgraceful. For the supposed to be the third best team in Scotland, supposed to be the best striker in the Premier League at the moment, they were awful, woeful, absolute woeful, right? You know, and I was just absolutely disgusted with them. You know, look at the difference between them and Aberdeen. Look where Aberdeen is at the moment, and they gave Celtic a torrid time. They went out and they had nothing to lose. The same as Hearts had nothing to lose because they're third. Nobody's going to touch them at third. So they should have went out all gung-ho yesterday, and they did not.
Mm. Are you a Hearts fan, Scott?
No. You know I'm not a Hearts fan, so you say I've forgotten.
No, the screen set, my screen genuinely just does say Scott and Cambuslang. Right, the laugh tells me he's a Celtic fan, that's fine.
You're still contracted to Hearts, Andy, yeah?
Potentially.
So he is, technically.
Yeah,
you forget that.
Yeah.
Just a lone player until the summer.
See, they've crumbled since he's gone to Motherwell. Crumbled.
Have we kept the receipt? Can it be undone? Anyway, so Scott's a Celtic fan, an interested observer yesterday. Hearts were all sorts of bad things, according to Scott.
I didn't think they played well, no. I was surprised with the start to the game, but no, I've said it before. I think early goals can sometimes derail your game plan beforehand, but. Yeah, I don't think Hearts settled into the game well. obviously, you know, I don't buy into this. Teams lie down for other teams and whatnot. Rangers fans are always saying that Aberdeen lie down to Celtic because I don't think Aberdeen have beat Celtic since 2016 or 2017. But look at the game they made of it on Saturday. And Hearts just didn't put up a performance that they're capable of on Sunday. I think that, you know, Hearts went to Ibrox this season and were 1-0 up in the 91st minute, and it took a penalty in the 93rd minute, and then a last minute winner by, I think it was it Danilo in the 95th minute to win it 2-1. So I don't buy into that, but certainly going into the game Sunday, I thought the Hearts were nowhere near where they're capable.
As neutrals in the media, Scott, would love another helicopter Sunday, and the last helicopter Saturday would be this week, this season, and the last weekend of the season. If it got down to a helicopter Saturday, would it worry you that Rangers are at Tynecastle?
No, not really. But I mean, you look at it, I'm just looking at their Hearts. They were yesterday, right? Now, and mark my words on this. We've got Hearts, Celtic have got Hearts at Parkhead, and you'll see a different animal when they come to Parkhead, guaranteed, right? So the league's over. I mean, for Hearts, the league's over because they're third and nobody's going to touch them, right? But no, it doesn't bother me. No, it's no. Hopefully the league will be done before then, when Celtic beat Rangers at Parkhead, and that'll be done. So it'll be non-void. But
is this at the core of your point, Scott, that you feel that Hearts try harder against Celtic than Rangers?
No, I just Gordon, you're going to put me in a situation here. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you look at the difference when Hearts play Celtic to Hearts play Rangers. They're a different animal. I was at Celtic Park when Hearts beat us 2-0, and I think it was maybe a week before or 2 weeks before, I can't remember, they played Rangers. Maybe I'm wrong, and they didn't play great at all, right? But then they come to Parkhead and they play us after Park. Now, they're very capable of it. So what happened to them yesterday, that incentive yesterday was a cup final for them, right? And it just seemed that not one of them turned up. I'm sorry, it's about opinions. As you know, this is about opinions, and I'm just saying that's my opinion.
It's probably just that I'm boring, Roger, and I go for the kind of boring, you know, because Scott keeps saying Hearts are the third best team in the country, which they are. As it stands, Rangers are second best team in the country, and they're a good bit better than Hearts. And if they kind of boringly win a game 2-0, is that not kind of just to be expected? Like, as Scott says, they're capable of more, and if you're Hearts or maybe Celtic fans, you would hope they do more, and they might do on their day, but ultimately it's just kind of the outcome you're going to get more often than you don't.
Yeah, and the start didn't help Hearts. I mean, Dessers should have scored before he actually did score. Rangers came out, and it's been unlike Rangers. Rangers have started games extremely poorly. You think of the Maeda goal after 21 seconds. George Harmon could have scored after 30 for Ross County. Malachi Boateng could have scored after 30 seconds for Dundee against Rangers. They've started poorly in games. They started brightly yesterday. They got the goal after 5 minutes, and Hearts never really did a lot of the ball, a lot of territorial advantage. Didn't do nearly enough to test Jack Butland, and once the second went in, that was the game over.
You get different types of bad performance, obviously, Andy, and I, you know, go back to a Hearts fan yesterday who said he felt it was an embarrassing performance, because we were discussing that word on the show. Going back to how we went through the game in the studio, in the 77th, 78th minute, if somebody had said, I've seen the future and Hearts are going to be the next team to score here, I don't think anyone would have been that surprised. So it felt like quite a close game at that point. I take the notion that Hearts lacked quality and lacked that cutting edge. And then when it finishes 2-0 and you look back and you say that Jack Butland didn't have many saves to make, you say, well, you know, they didn't lay a glove on them. But to repeat, with 10, 12 minutes to go, was it not still kind of in the balance? It's not that bad a performance then.
I think they had a good sort of 20, 25 minute spell if that in the second half, where they, you know, they put Rangers under a lot of pressure in terms of territory they played in their half, but without really creating much. But again, going off the start, you feel as if going into the game, Rangers were certainly a bit fragile considering they'd won 2 games in 8. They were off the back of a poor performance at Dens Park, 0-0, and a really poor performance up in Dingwall and lost. So you really expected Hearts to fly out the traps, get after Rangers, get in their faces, make it uncomfortable for them. But if you watch 3 people in John Lundstrom, Diamandé and Cantwell, it felt as if they could do whatever they wanted for the sort of first 30 minutes of the game. And I thought that was the real surprising aspect. And I think that's the thing that will disappoint the Hearts fans the most, that they never sort of get after them and make it uncomfortable at the start and then see how Rangers react. Because if they start well, given the form that they're in, they might feel as if it can, you know, take its toll on Rangers and put them under a bit of pressure. But that just never seemed the case for the get-go. I was amazed the space that Todd Cantwell was finally sailing throughout the full 90 minutes. And listen, I think Stephen A. Smith and his staff were as well, because they made adjustments at half-time. They went to 4-4-1-1. But again, I still don't really think it changed. I still thought John Lundstrom could pick up, you know, plenty of spaces to get on the ball and knock the ball about and dictate the tempo. And again, Todd Cantwell could find the pockets of space to hurt Hearts. And he never really made the space count until that decisive second goal in the end.
What about the other semi-final, the one on Saturday? Scott, what did you make of it from your perspective?
Heart attack material. Aberdeen are due, right? As I said earlier on, they came out and gave it a go, right? And, you know, but there's a couple of things I said to you, your producer guy, right? You know, bringing Callum McGregor off on his one each, you know, taking Jamesy Forrest off and putting a defender on, which meant that the defender can, you know, there was a space for a defender to go up who scored the third. You know, Yang just, you know, he's turning around and saying, Brendan Rodgers coming out and saying that Jamesy Forrest is the best winger that Celtic have got at the moment. Why not play him then? Right? You know, he made a point on Saturday, came on, scored, you know, and the Dundee game coming up on Sunday, for me, he should be starting straight away. I've been speaking to you guys about Liam Scales, and I've been a big Liam Scales fan through 90% of the season. But they two goals, the second goal for Aberdeen, the third goal, he was just don't know where he was. He was just gone, you know. But yeah, you know, we're through, and that's the main point. By hook or by crook, that's what it is.
And we're back. Yeah, we're back then to the latest instalment of, is Liam Scales still better than Mike Navrotsky? And Brendan Rodgers seems to think so. And yeah, lots of Celtic fans are puzzled about the way it's all played out. We've done this a lot this season.
He was kind of rushed back in, Liam Scales, wasn't he? So
yeah, Navrotsky played last week and Celtic kept a clean sheet.
Yeah, and Brendan Rodgers clearly feels his strongest pairing is Carter Vickers and Scales. I know what you mean, Scott, about the second and third goals, very similar goals, similar deliveries from Hoylett on the left-hand side. I thought they were outstanding deliveries. There were two good headers. I actually thought Scales was more at fault for the first goal, you know, failing to intercept that ball from Clarkson through to Mayovsky. Sometimes you just have to say, it's a brilliant ball, it's a brilliant header, it's a good goal. I'm not sure that's a real failing we've seen a lot from Celtic this season. I don't remember a huge number of goals being conceded in that fashion. But it'll be interesting to see if Dundee try and prey on them in that area come Sunday.
Thank you very much to Scott on 01419511025. A sensational piece of feedback from your old colleague, your old pal Gordon DL, after you getting the 10 there on Beat the Pundit. I don't know how much of it I can read out. Shouldn't be minus one for that beep. It should be a reduction of his beep heed down to a normal size. He's a beep. That's an incredible ratio in that one sentence.
It's what they call an Oscars night, a warm tribute.
Anyway, right, what about that team of the year? We could do that. It's always a nice debate. We can keep going on the weekend. It is up to you. But I'll maybe get the guys' thoughts on who was overlooked for team of the season, if you like, and a full-time teaser next as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Another way you can contact us, but it's got more of a specific purpose, is to send an email to fulltime@clyde1.com. That is if you want to submit a question for this.
Full time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
And very quickly, before we do the question, a quick reminder, I'm going to get the guys' thoughts on the team of the season. So if you've any thoughts on who missed out or whether it's bang on, give us a call right now. This is one of those questions that you're going to scoff. You're going to roll your eyes and scoff when I read the question, but we will get there eventually. Can you... I wonder how your music knowledge is.
Music?
And Roger might need to help you out here.
Aye.
Can
we've got a remote helper as well.
In the past 25 years, five Premiership players have 20 or more goals, but they must share their initials with a member of the Beatles.
Okay, oh, no, I'm fine with that.
Oh, honestly, I have to. The Crazy Pony's imagination in these questions is spectacular. He mailed it in. So, can you name five players who share their initials with one of the Beatles and have 20 or more Premiership goals? We're only spanning the last 25 years.
Altogether, not in a season.
It's not no, just altogether. So, look, for anyone who's listening along and isn't so sure, let's out the initials. What are we looking for?
John Lennon.
For John Lennon.
Uh-huh.
Ringo Starr.
Uh-huh.
Paul McCartney. Because you've got to help me with someone.
Uh-huh.
George Harrison.
There you go. Hugh Keevan's been loving this right up his street.
You see the news today that the John Lennon Airport was closed for a while, Andy? Shut, huh? Imagine all the people.
Oh, honestly, I
was waiting for it as well.
I knew it was going to be some rotten dad joke. Awful. Anyway, can you name five players who've got 20 or more Premiership goals in the last 25 years
and
they share their initials with?
Gary Hooper.
Yes, Gary Hooper. Well done. Andy, any that spring to mind for you? There are only five, of course.
No, not just now, to be honest with you.
In the last 20, for sure, looking said, but nice, since the millennium, really.
Yeah, pretty much. And of course,
John Lundstrom's not got 20 goals. No,
he does not.
One of the most feared pal, Paul McGinn. He won't have 25.
No,
Paul McGowan.
Paul McGinn has got 10. By the way, he's not far off this list.
Paul McGowan.
Paul McGinn is seventh.
Paul McGowan.
Yes.
Wow.
Right, we'll leave it there because Roger Hanna has got the bit between his teeth. So we'll move on. And don't forget to submit your. They don't need to be as confusing as that. Believe me, they can be a bit more straightforward. But full time at Clyde1.com. You're more than welcome to keep calling about the weekend. By the way, that's fine. That's what we're here for. I understand that'll dominate the proceedings, but let's at least for a couple of minutes in the studio have a look at what these two make of the PFA Scotland Premiership Team of the Year. It doesn't stop us debating. It doesn't stop many people missing the point, but it is voted for by the players, so it's just what they think. It's quite innocently done. And the team was Jack Butland in goal, a back four of James Tavernier, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Owen Beck, a midfield three of Matt O'Reilly, Callum McGregor and John Lundstrom, and an attacking trio of Theo Bayer, Bojan Miovski and Lawrence Shankland. You actually voted, Andy Halliday,
yeah,
so you are the best place to kick us off. What was your team of the season?
My team's different then than it is now, though.
Because
I voted over 4 weeks ago.
Oh, but that's fine, just tell me who you voted for.
Also, who I voted for at the time.
Yes.
So I voted for Jack Butland, James Tavernier, Lewis Mayo, Frankie Kent, Owen Beck, Matt O'Reilly, Luke McKeown. I voted for John Lundstrom, Danny Armstrong, Lauren Shanklin and Bojan Miovski.
Are you allowed to vote for Theo Bear?
No,
I didn't think so. So that was a forced change. So a couple of differences. Yeah, timing does come into it. You say you voted a couple of weeks ago. Why did you mention that? Would you change it if I asked you to vote tonight?
I would.
Fickle are you?
Well, because I think we're in the business end of the season where.
So who would you take out?
I don't know who follow. I would go either Callum McGregor or David Watson for John Lundstrom. I think John Lundstrom had a really good period between October till sort of January, February. At that point in time, I thought it was enough to get him in the team of the year.
But you'd take him out if I asked you to vote tonight?
Yeah, because I think Callum McGregor's almost a victim of his own standards at times. Listen, we've had numerous Celtic callers this season. Don't feel he's not hit the level that he has recently. But I still think that for me, I'd probably have him in my team of the year.
Why? Your defence is the bit that looks most different. Why no Cameron Carter-Vickers?
He's played 12 90 minutes this season. 12th. That's surely not enough to be in a team of the year for me.
Your fellow professionals seem to disagree.
Five weeks ago, at that point in time, he had played 16 games. So again, that's... Listen, yeah. if he continues to play the last five, six games of the season, again, that's the thing about the timing and the votes. If he plays the last few games of the season, Celtic win the league, and he has five, six worldies, it's hard to argue. By the way, I think he's the best centre half in the league. But yeah. I think 12, 90 minutes for me is not enough for team of the year.
As I said earlier, you know, it's done quite innocently. You're a student of the game, mm-hmm. and you work on this show and others, and you're well across all these things. It is still quite understandable, I suppose, that some of your fellow pros probably just do that. I mind playing against that Carter Vickers. He's murder to play against, or he's the best defender in the league, so you stick him in. Is that the thought?
Certain people look at the team sheet and think, oh, Cameron Carter Vickers, he's the best centre half in the league. I'm putting him in my team of the year. Likewise with maybe John Lundstrom, Callum McGregor, all these type of boys. But again, you know, I'm a bit of a stickler at times, so I just think 12, 90 minutes, I don't think that's enough for a team of the year.
Roger, what would yours be?
In deference to Fraser Wishart, who I believe has had to leave the country, he's gone into so much flack since this team was announced on Saturday.
It's not that controversial.
Three changes. Out go Scales, McGregor and Bear. Right. In come Mayo.
Out go Bear?
Yes. In come Mayo, McCowan and Danny Armstrong of Kilmarnock. So Jack Burland in goal, James Tavernier, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Lewis Mayo, Owen Beck, Danny Armstrong, John Lundstrom, Matt O'Reilly, Luke McCowan, Lauren Shankland, Bojan Mayovsky.
Okay, just out of curiosity, I won't ask you to name names. Are there sometimes, it doesn't even need to be this time, see if you're not very popular, see if you're a wee bit annoying, less likely to make the, because it's voted for by the players?
Yeah, I'd imagine so, definitely.
Do you think there's anyone who's not in this team that would be if they were a bit less annoying?
Potentially. I think there's a couple that are very, very unlucky, so you then ask the question, why are they not in? But listen, timing's a lot as well. Theo Bear scored 10 goals in the last 15 games. At that time, the voting started to vote. Recent memory, he's been absolutely on fire since
January. Take it away from
no, but you know what
your
I mean?
Own teammate
like,
here.
For how good he's been since January, then there's no surprise that he's in team of the year.
What do you make of that? Because you see him up close now. This is a guy who had scored one for St Johnstone, came, everybody slaughtered the signing. Didn't start particularly quickly either. It's a team that, unfortunately, as you well know, is bottom six, has never really threatened the top six until towards the end. And yet, in one of the prize positions, if you like, the fellow pros have put Theo Bear in there. Is that testament to him and the improvements he's made?
Absolutely. I think it's also testament to the staff as well, who work day in, day out with him individually in analysis meetings on the training field. And you can see the improvement in his all-round technical game, because, I mean, his stature, his athleticism has never been in question, even when he was at St Johnstone, sorry. Big boy, quick, powerful, strong. But I think that technical aspect, his composure inside the box, his movement inside the box to get on the end of chances, I think it's improved dramatically. And since January, there's no doubt he's been a Team of the Year nominee, which is why, obviously, that people voted him.
Yeah, I think Shanklin, Mijovsky, a lot of headlines bound to be in there. Matthew points something out. We were all big fans. We praised him. But if we're on the hasn't played many games, Owen Beck's not actually played that many.
But either has the guy who I think's battling him for that position, and Alex Cochrane, because I think they're the two outstanding candidates, right. And Alex Cochrane's played one more game than Owen Beck.
Left out the Hearts team yesterday,
which I was not as surprising as Conor Golson, but for me, Alex Cochrane's been in the top three best Hearts players this year, so I was really surprised to see him not play.
Selick Dills says Frankie Kent and Danny Armstrong are unfortunate to miss out, so similar line to
and
you
my team.
Bobby says get Scales to, you know, somewhere else. Captain Conker, Matty Kennedy, Danny Armstrong, Lewis Mayo, David Watson. He's wanting Alexei Aremenko, Connor Salmon, and
I wonder who he's supporting.
All contenders. Having Carter Vickers in Team of the Year is like getting a London Marathon medal for only doing the last 100 yards, he says.
Oh, David Freeld, I like to get his medal for 100 yards.
And to be Matondo, who is a Rangers fan, says Lundstrom was in there due to recency bias for his performances under Clement, but since then he's had a fall off, so there we go. Some
no Kilmarnock players in the team of the year was a real surprise.
Yeah. Because they obviously are doing so well as a collective. That can happen though, can it, when it's a bit more of a spread and a team effort. But there have been some. You mentioned Danny Armstrong, Lewis Mayo.
Is Lewis Mayo also a victim of the fact he's played right back for a lot of the season? Has that came into the equation?
I don't know. The best story of the entire PFA Scotland teams of the year through the divisions was in League One.
Unbelievable.
10 Falkirk players and
Roman Barrell of Cove Rangers. If you're poor old, is it Ross McIver?
Yeah, he's the only Falkirk player.
Only Falkirk. Yeah, well, can you imagine what he's getting in training this week?
I don't think I've ever seen that, have you?
No.
10 from one team. I know, and I mean, I get it, they've been the outstanding team by a mile.
But Roman Barrell's got 21 goals as well, so it'd be hard to leave him out. But 10 is crazy.
Because, like, even as a Premiership example, Brendan Rodgers, invincible treble, it would have been nowhere near 10.
What would it
have been that season? I'll maybe look it up. What would that be? The talk amongst yourselves while I find it. PFA Scotland team of the season 2016-17.
Well, you're right. Celtic with the invincible treble team, and then the Rangers team that I played in that won the championship, I think had four, maybe five. The Hearts team I played in that won the championship with a fair few points would have been about the same, maybe 3-4. 10 is... I've never heard that before.
Six in that from the Celtic team that season. So that's about as many as I've ever heard of.
The Falkirk boys can't vote for themselves. So they probably all voted for big Roman Barrell.
Well, they must have.
Let's get him in.
That's a shame, isn't it? You should have just left him out. They might have got 11.
Incredible. There we go. Lots of thoughts coming in, mostly on Twitter, but you can give us a call if you want. Paul says Scott Tanzer has to be the best left back, played all season, top six.
Stephen Robertson would tell you so, yep. No, I was really impressed with Owen Beck. I think Owen Beck could well be back in Scotland next year. Not sure it'll be with Dundee.
Oh, I think it's 12. Which one? Because you're telling me it's one of Glasgow's big two, surely.
I wonder if they might each of a tackle him. I don't know.
But only one of them will get him, though.
Yeah. And you're right.
He's not going to play half the season for each.
Yeah. And there's an argument that both of them will be looking for left backs in the summer as well.
Well, I think more than an argument. It has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah,
good player,
very good player. I think he's run close by Alex Cochrane. I think Alex Cochrane's been exceptional this year.
Fair enough. Okay, right. Let's bring in Derek, who's on the line. How are you, Derek?
I'm good tonight, thank you.
Good. What always, have you got for us?
Always good to hear you guys. I've got two quick points. One, I must say that there was a chap earlier on who was talking about Dessers being a £35 million. Pound player, but he's went to £50 million now.
I think it might have been tongue in cheek. I'd need to double check. I hope so, certainly.
Well, I couldn't speak. I missed the phone call back to phone you back. Luckily, I was able to get back in again, but I was too busy noting myself on the floor. But that aside, my main point was about Aberdeen, and a lot of my Celtic friends and Rangers friends are turning around saying that we were bad. I don't think we were bad at all. I think Aberdeen were superb. I think they played a really, really good game. They were hungry for it. They gave everything. And they did not lie down to Rangers. Hearts did not lie down to Celtic. Conspiracy theories are fine if there's 2 points in the league near the end of the game, and I can understand that. But on games like that, play the Hearts out, and I think Hearts played the best they could on that day.
So you think that some of the fans earlier who were critical of Celtic's performance, do you think that stuff's a bit over the top?
I think it's way OTT, and what annoys me is in my opinion, Brendan Rodgers has come in, he's had a crock team for a good 6 months, and also changing the system. And even when they get the good guys back in, still changing the system. And history will look back, if things work out okay, obviously I'm a Celtic fan, and say, hey, this guy did a fantastic job, because he's changing a whole ethos. But where he made a big mistake was he's trying to play European football in a game that he played the other day and putting a defender on. Now, in domestic football, we should go forward all the time. But I understand his mentality, but he made a big mistake, and that's what took us to penalties, in my belief, you know. But credit to Aberdeen, I think they were absolutely superb, and every credit to them.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Derek and Straven. You're going to bring this part to a close. Matondo's back on Twitter pointing out Rangers had 8 in the team of the season when they won the league, the Steven Gerrard team. Anyway, just by the by, how are you on this teaser? Remember, it's a cracker tonight. It's a bit different tonight. We're looking for 5 players who share their initials with a member of the Beatles and have scored 20 or more goals in the Scottish top flight. across the last 25 years. So you've got Gary Hooper, Paul McGowan.
Scoosh that, mate, Roger.
Give me one more guess each then.
Rudy Scatchell.
Rudy Scatchell. Ringo Starr, Rudy Scatchell. Yep, Roger.
What about Joe Ledley?
John Lennon, Joe Ledley. Well done. We'll get the remaining one, hopefully, after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are on the home straight on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've given them a very strange teaser. We don't have many like this. If you want to submit your question, hear it used on the show, see if the pundits can come up with the answers. It's full time at ClydeOne.com. It does not need to be as adventurous as this. Can you name five players who share their initials with a member of the Beatles and have 20 or more Premiership goals in the last 25 years? Before the break, Gary Hooper, Paul McGowan, Rudy Scatchell and Joe Ledley. So you've actually only got one to get.
Who sent this in? That's a crazy pony.
Yes.
You want the one just now?
Just give us it. Yep.
Ryan Stevenson.
Well done. Right, that's you done it. You've won. I hope you're proud of yourselves for doing it so quickly and spoiling it. Luckily for you, the pony is one step ahead. He initially sent me a list of 10, mm-hmm. but I thought this would be hard, and I thought I would do the generous thing, and I chopped it at five for you. I gave you the top five, so you're more than welcome to crack on.
Hey,
but I gave you one of them.
Paul McGinn.
Paul McGinn, I gave you that one.
Cool.
Any others that spring to mind? Because some of these guys have got like single figure goals. So I capped it at 20, but these have got like...
John Lundstrom?
No. Still no.
No?
What's the lowest goals?
Nine.
He's got nine goals?
Yeah. That's just a bit of fun, because you've completed it, but we'll see how you get on before the end.
Is a crazy pony coming back on Thursday with Daz in the Mushroom with the Rolling Stones?
I'm sure. I'm absolutely certain of it. This stage on a Monday, we tend to tidy up any loose ends from the weekend. Dundee United back in the Premiership next season, Roger. You saw them.
I was there, Tannadice. They sort of made heavy weather of beating 10-man United, but they did beat them. Chris Mockery, it's a lovely story. Academy player, first signed for Dundee United at the age of 10, has now come off the bench and scored three late winners, so he has played his part in the promotion campaign. His mother was in tears at the final whistle. Turns out she's a Dundee fan and she doesn't know who she's going to support in the derbies next season.
I mean, Andy, I must say, I always try and stay away from this like notion that certain teams deserve to be in certain divisions or whatever, because it's just you win and lose your way in and out of divisions, so you need to be good enough, and that is the be all and end all for me. However, if I, in fairness, it is good to have another derby in the top flight. Dundee's a good one.
Yeah, I'm a bit selfish in the aspect that another derby, it's another big team with big crowds. You see Falkirk as well, who are getting back up to the Championship. I know a lot of so-called smaller teams in the Championship won't like me saying it, but no, I'm more than happy for Dundee United to come up. Wouldn't you mind Partick Thistle coming up with them as well?
Well, playoffs, that's the other thing secured at the weekend. We've kind of known for a while, I guess, but I always wonder if games like that one at the weekend, when you beat Airdrie, is that...
That's what I said at the top of the show. They've laid down a marker.
Have they, though, or is it like you've used your good performance against them? Is that I know that's glass half empty, but sometimes look at what... Remember I said this on Saturday when Airdrie were in League One. Mm-hmm. They were miles behind second place, weren't they? Like miles behind, and then they were the one that won the playoffs.
Yeah, but you know, they've just lost Firhill. They've got the new champions coming to their place Friday night in front of the TV cameras. A couple of injuries. They just need to be careful at having had a great run. Listen, whatever happens, it's a fantastic season. They won the SPFL Trust Trophy. They have made a real impact in the Championship as a newly promoted side. Reece McCabe's done an absolutely terrific job. Guys like Adam Frizzell, Callum Fordyce, Nikolai Todorov, they've all shown this season, Craig Watson too. But they need to be careful. I think Thistle have put a marker down. I think Thistle will probably get past them. Raith Rovers, though, you just wonder about, you know, Raith, can they keep it going? They got a bit of luck in their side at Inverness on Friday night to win. Be interesting to see who is 11th in the Premiership and who's going to play one of these teams.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be a bumper end to the season, that's for sure. I feel like maybe every week or every night between now and June, we might need to just set aside a couple of minutes to take a register about who's fit and who's not fit for the Euros. Been a mixed weekend. You were nearly getting called up, Andy Halliday, because added to the right back woes, Stuart Armstrong was stretchered off. Roger Hannah late in the game, very late in the game. It looked, you know, as if the Euros had no chance. But better news today, Andy, that he still got a chance by all accounts.
Yeah, but still worrying. I think especially when you see, I mean, that right back position, Aaron Hickey's such a big player for Scotland. Nathan Patterson's obviously who would fill that void if Aaron Hickey doesn't make it, and it looks as if he's potentially going to miss it as well. So it's a problem area. What I will say is that sort of centre mid position or off the front that Stuart Armstrong plays feels as if we've got a decent bit more cover.
Know,
although losing
Lewis Ferguson
as well doesn't certainly make that ideal. So it's going to be interesting. I'll expect a right few Ryan Gold phone calls coming up.
We just spent so long worrying about trying to get back to these competitions, Roger. I hadn't prepared myself for the trauma and stress of going into it with players missing. Well, obviously it's possible, but it's not been a good start.
Euros, Ryan Jack and Kenny McLean were the late ones that missed it. There's always somebody missed out. Scotland just seemed to be almost cursed this time. Lewis Ferguson out, Nathan Patterson out, Stuart Armstrong. The injury's not as bad as first fear. I think it's a quad muscle injury, Russell Martin said today. He won't play for Southampton again this season, though. Squad's named, I think, 6 weeks on Friday, just immediately after the Finland game at Hampden. It will be a race against time for Stuart Armstrong. Likewise, Aaron Hickey. Hopefully Billy Gilmour's okay. He's been out the Brighton picture. Hopefully Grant Hanley's okay. The same at Norwich. Still to be decided whether it's 23 or 26.
Yeah.
If it's 26, I might get a call up now. I mean, Andy Halliday.
Yeah. And I suppose better news today that it looks like it's possible, certainly for Stuart Armstrong.
Yeah.
It didn't look that way at the weekend. Scott McTominay scored. So it's just going to be like that every week, isn't
it? Aaron Hickey's a real big one for me though, Gordon.
Huge.
I think we missed him so much the last couple of games. I thought that qualifying campaign, I know the likes of, you know, your Scott McTominay took a lot of headlines, your John McGinn's, but Aaron Hickey I thought was a revelation in his position. So he's one that I'm keeping a close eye on. Really hope he makes
it. If there's no Ferguson, if there's no Armstrong, you do wonder who's going to get called up. You know, if there's no, you know, Nathan Patterson out, Anthony Ralph's not come into the squad. You know, if Grant Hanley doesn't make it, probably Suter and Cooper will both go. You wonder if there's no Armstrong and Ferguson in terms of those offensive positions. Is it mad to think James Forrest could get back in?
No, I don't think it's mad at all.
Well, is it more likely that Steve Clarke goes back to someone who he has used but has fallen out of it? So
like
whether
Ryan
that's
Jack.
Ryan Jack, James Forrest, David Turnbull, you know, guys that have been in that squad, or is it more likely that he does pluck someone from elsewhere?
See, in terms of the right back position, I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the phone to Tino Livramento right now for Newcastle.
Just offering him everything he can.
Yep. I think he'll have a real close few conversations with him over the next few weeks.
He's eligible for a few countries.
He's a teammate of Stephen O'Donnell and Paul McGinn.
Can he put me under that pressure, Roger?
Ross McCrory at Bristol City.
Yeah, I've seen that mentioned. Tino Livramento, is there a chance, do you think?
Well, John Carver said prior to those games against the Netherlands and Northern Ireland that the door was closed on what you might describe as the Newcastle four: Harvey Barnes, Anthony Gordon, Elliot Anderson and Tino Livramento. That was obviously before Nathan Patterson's injury and before it emerged that Aaron Hickey wouldn't play for Brentford again this season. If neither of them are available, it would not surprise me at all if Scotland made a late pitch for Livramento.
Pitch, you said there.
Pitch.
Let's double check. Just sounded funny in my earphones. Right, that's us. We're nearly there. We're on to bonus answers in the teaser because you got them all anyway. But we'll see what more you can come up with in the list. Players that share their initials with a member of the Beatles and they've scored in the Premiership over the last 25 years. It's the top 10. You've got Hooper, Scatchell, McGowan, Stevenson, Ledley.
Maybe did Jack Leach get for Motherwell?
No. Nope.
Well, sorry about the strength of that, by the way.
What about sort of mercurial Celtic winger?
Well, Paddy McCourt.
Another Ringo Starr. He could have been a shout for the Scotland squad at some point, striker.
Ross Stewart.
Ross Stewart.
Yeah, Ross Stewart, yeah.
Gary Harkins is in there.
Oh,
there we go. So.
Good player. One more.
Phil Maguire.
No way, Aberdeen centre half.
What? Managed 10. It's a surprise one for me, I have to
say. Jordan Lundstrom got 9. See, number 11 in the list.
He's not on the 10, yeah, he's not on the list. So there you go. Thank you, Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday. Thank you, most of all, though, for listening and calling and tweeting and emailing. Always much appreciated. And we're back tomorrow, Gordon Dalziel and Kenny Miller, as we build up to the return of the Scottish Premiership. It's award season as well, as we've discussed. Who knows what tomorrow will bring on that front. We look forward to seeing you. Have a good night.